friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's fight week in Las Vegas, where Deontay Wilder and Luis Ortiz are getting ready for a heavyweight rematch. At stake Saturday night will be Wilder's WBC title belt, according to our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta. The Cuban Ortiz came very close to taking Wilder's title last year in New York before Deontay stopped him in the 10th round.
Well, son, in the first fight, Deontay Wilder was out in the 7th round. Ortiz had him in trouble. And what saved Deontay Wilder in that fight was the fact that a referee stepped in. Without the referee stepped in, Deontay was on what we call jello legs. that night, he looked beatable. And so fight fans were not happy with the outcome of that fight. And they felt that there's still unfinished business between Deontay Wilder and Luis Ortiz of Cuba.
Do you think in terms of unfinished business, it'll be more serious business on the part of Deontay Wilder?
This rematch will be an explosive knockout because Deontay Wilder wants to make a statement. In the process of trying to make a statement, he can get knocked out himself because he has not been really chinned. When we say chinned, means he's not been tapped on the chin to know if he has a glass chin. And with a dangerous Cuban, that could happen, but I don't see that happening because the Cuban is slower and older. I expect Deontay Wilder to drop that bomb squad on him, and he should be able to take him out in less than 7 rounds. But this is boxing. Anything can happen, Sonny.
Anything can happen, Namdi, but I'm picking Deontay Wilder to win by knockout Saturday night. Let's listen in now to Hall of Fame ring announcer Jimmy Lennon Jr., and the fighter introductions at their final news conference in Las Vegas.
Here they are, ladies and gentlemen, the highly anticipated and very dangerous rematch, 12 rounds for the WBC Heavyweight Championship of the World. The Bronze Bomber, Deontay Wilder versus Luis King Kong Ortiz.
Luis King Kong Ortiz spoke in Spanish at the news conference, and we'll hear the English translator now.
Like I said before, and Deontay also said it, this is not going to go 12 rounds. Either he knocks me out or I knock him out. And I wish there was no bells between rounds so we can just keep going. This is going to be a war.
Meanwhile, Deontay Wilder also used that war description in his pre-fight comments.
I'm looking forward to giving you guys the best of me. Lewis is looking to give you guys the best of him, you know, along with the rest of the guys that's on the card. And that's all you guys can ask for. You know, we train very hard to get prepared and to go to war. This is war. And as I always say, these guys have to be perfect for 12 rounds. I only have to be perfect for 2 seconds. And in the blink of an eye, bam, baby, good night. So I can't wait, guys. You in for a treat. This is going to be an amazing card, amazing fight. And I can't wait, baby. Bomb Squad!
That's Deontay, the Bronze Bomber Wilder. The World Boxing Council's heavyweight champion, the unbeaten Wilder, has 41 wins and one draw with 40 knockouts. The challenger, Luis King Kong Ortiz, has a professional record of 31 victories and one defeat with 26 knockouts. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African football, teams across the continent just wrapped up a busy window of qualifying matches for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. There will now be a break of more than 9 months, with the Cameroon 2021 qualifying campaign resuming at the end of August 2020. Defending champion Algeria is off to a good start with 2 wins in its first 2 qualifiers. And this year's Nations Cup runners-up, Senegal, is also off to a good start with 2 wins and the maximum 6 points. Algeria leads Group H, while Senegal leads Group I. Other group leaders with two victories and the maximum 6 points are Ghana in Group C, Tunisia in Group J, Madagascar in Group K, and Nigeria in Group L. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Nigeria's France-based striker, Victor Osimhen, who is one of four players with 3 goals so far in the Nations Cup qualifying competition. The three others are Luis Leal of Sao Tome and Principe, Famara Diadio of Senegal, and Wabi Kazri of Tunisia. In more African football news, Egypt will host Ivory Coast Friday in the final of the Africa Under 23 Cup of Nations tournament. And before the final, South Africa will face Ghana in the third place match. Both games will be played at the Cairo International Stadium in the Egyptian capital. Egypt and Ivory Coast have clinched places in the 2020 Olympic men's football tournament in Japan. And the winner of the South Africa-Ghana game will also qualify for the Olympics. As we head into the final day of Under 23 action in Egypt, let's give another sunny side of sports salute to 21-year-old Egyptian striker Mostafa Mohamed, who leads all scorers at the Africa Under 23 Cup of Nations with 4 goals. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
On December 5th, Border Crossings will bring you the greatest songs inspired by the soul genre. You'll hear smash hits from Three Dog Night, Mama told me not to come. Holland Oates, and George Michael. If you like these tracks, you'll love our Soul Inspirations theme. December 5th on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. In African athletics news, the Kenyan Jeffrey Kamworor's world half marathon record of 58 minutes and 1 second has officially been ratified. In a sensational run, Kamworor took 22 seconds off the previous record at the Copenhagen half marathon in Denmark, September 15th. Copenhagen was an appropriate setting for the 26-year-old Kenyan, who won the first of 3 consecutive world half marathon titles in the streets of the Danish capital in 2014. And in terms of 2019, it's been another very good year for Jeffrey Kamworor. Earlier this month, on November 3rd, Jeffrey won his 2nd New York City marathon title, clocking 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 13 seconds.
They're playing back. Without that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, the Denver Nuggets snapped the 8-game winning streak of the Houston Rockets, as we hear now from the AP's Bruce Morton in Denver, Colorado.
The Nuggets' stifling defense forced 20 turnovers as they won a battle of division leaders, topping Houston 105-95. The defeat ended the Rockets' 8-game win streak. Nugget guard Will Barton.
We know to win at the level we want to win at, we're going to have to be one of those top defensive teams. You can't win at a high level if you don't go out there and defend. So we preach that in, you know, training camp and our practices and film, you know, pretty much every day.
Denver gained separation with a 16-3 run, good for a 77-62 lead with 3:05 left in the third quarter. This on a night in which Houston was held below 100 points for the first time this season. James Harden and Nikola Jokic each tied for scoring honors with 27 points. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Thanks, Bruce. Now let's go to Los Angeles, California, where there was an exciting overtime contest between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Boston Celtics. The Clippers prevailed by 3 points, as we hear now from the AP's Mark Myers in Los Angeles.
In an overtime thriller, the Clippers beat the Celtics 107-104. LA erased a 10-point fourth-quarter deficit. Superstars Paul George and Kawhi Leonard played their first game together as Clippers, and the two combined to score 42 points. And coach Doc Rivers said things are only going to get better.
Right now we're winning games, but we have not become a good team yet. And so we have a lot of work. We are clearly a work in progress. Our guys know that, though.
Jason Tatum led Boston with 30, including a game-tying three near the end of regulation. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. The Clippers now have a record of 10 wins and 5 losses, while the Celtics have 11 victories and 3 defeats. During Wednesday's show, I talked triple doubles with Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the Voice of America's Swahili service chief. Well, the young Slovenian player Luka Doncic has been on a roll with that all-around triple-double statistic. The second-year star Doncic had 35 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists Wednesday night to help lead the Dallas Mavericks to a 142-94 rout of the Golden State Warriors. Doncic now has an NBA-best 7 triple-doubles in 14 games this season. The Mavericks have 9 wins and 5 losses right now, while the Warriors continue to struggle. They have 3 wins and 13 losses. Turning to tennis, the inaugural ATP Cup team tournament will be held in January in Australia. Ahead of the competition, Craig Gabriel caught up with Austria's team captain in London. Here's Craig.
Thomas Muster for ATP Cup Tennis Australia. Thomas, Austrian, Australia, there's a similarity in names.
Yep.
And you've lived in Australia for a long time. Give us your best Australian accent.
Oh, gee, it's, I always hear that people say you got a tweak there, but I've lived on and off in Australia for a long, long time. I love the country, I love the people, I love the sports spirit, and always love to come back to Australia for whatever it is, for business, privately, whatever. It's a great country and I love it.
All right, you're going to be going back as captain of the Austrian team. How are you going to take on the role of captain?
Well, I've been the Davis Cup captain for Austria for some time, given them to Stefan Kubek, but obviously ATP Cup, the captain is chosen by the number one player, so Dominic has given me the honour to do that, and I'm very happy to take that on, which is great at the beginning of the year to speak to the team, to everyone, to set him up for the year. And ATP Cup is way more than an exhibition that people might see, or, you know, too many team cups and so on. But I think the market will show in the future that the ATP Cup is at the right spot at the right time of the year, and I think it will progress as a great event.
You mentioned Dominic Thiem. He has really hit his stride over the last 18 months in particular, or 2 years. He's such an important factor in men's tennis at the moment, isn't he?
Well, he's a great character, he's a good spirit, he's a fair, very likable guy that fights and works very hard every day, and it doesn't come easy to him, but he's got every shot in the world to be number one in the world, to win Grand Slams, but that's all theory. Reality, he's got to win them, and that's what's missing, and it's probably the consistency over the year that will show how far he can get, because that's all that's missing. Game-wise, there's no difference at the moment. I can't see much of a difference to the top three.
And Thomas, talk about the Australian crowds when it comes to tennis, and Austria is going to be based out of Sydney.
Well, Sydney, great town, obviously, to play tennis in. New stadium, new roof. It's going to be amazing there. Yeah, I mean, I think to play it in the three big cities, it's awesome all around the country. It gives everyone the opportunity to see the best guys, and then coming back to Sydney, play the semi-final, final, I think it's going to be great. It's going to draw a lot of attention to tennis again, and leading up to the Australian Open, the best you can get. I mean, the best players in the world. Awesome.
Thomas, thanks very much.
Sure, pleasure.
That's Thomas Muster, who will captain Austria at the inaugural ATP Cup team tournament in Australia in January. And Thomas was talking with Craig Gabriel in London. Meanwhile, Australia is also where the year's first major tournament, the Australian Open, is played in January. Novak Djokovic of Serbia and Naomi Osaka of Japan won this year's men's and women's singles titles at the Australian Open. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2019, my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson looks back on their triumphs, and Jim begins with Djokovic.
Even though I always believe I can play this way and kind of visualize myself playing this way, but at this level, under the circumstances, it was truly a perfect match.
Perfect for Novak Djokovic of Serbia, who stormed to the Australian Open title with a dominating 6-3, 6-2, 6-3 performance over Rafael Nadal of Spain.
Unbelievable the way that he played, no doubt about that. But at the same time, it's true that probably physically I was not able, I played fantastic tennis during both weeks, it's true, but probably playing that well, I didn't suffer much during the both weeks.
Djokovic needed just 2 hours, 4 minutes to claim his 15th major tennis title, edging ahead of his boyhood idol, American Pete Sampras.
I've said it before, but he was someone that I look up to, and when I was starting to play tennis, actually, one of the first images of tennis in general was him playing in Wimbledon and winning his, I think, first title. And to aspire to be as good as Pete and to surpass him with Grand Slam title is, I'm speechless.
The 31-year-old Djokovic has now won the last three majors in an amazing comeback from injury. Nadal has also made an impressive return himself, and while he is still two Grand Slam wins ahead of Djokovic, the Spaniard feels the latest Australian Open champ has more momentum.
I needed something else, and that something else probably today I don't have it yet. That's my feeling to compete at this super high level. I think I was playing great during the both weeks in offensive positions. In defensive positions, I practiced what I practiced. Difficult to beat him even if I was at my 100%.
Djokovic credits the organizers for helping to create a winning atmosphere.
It's definitely a tournament that sets a bar quite high for the other slams and other tournaments as well. Without a doubt, this is the best slam, the most player-friendly slam that we have.
Roger Federer of Switzerland holds a record 20 Grand Slam titles, which is the goal Djokovic has in front of him.
Making history, of the sport that I truly love is something special, and of course it motivates me. Playing Grand Slams and the biggest ATP events is my utmost priority in this season and the seasons to come.
As great as Novak Djokovic is at the moment, he feels his level of play can still go up.
I do want to definitely focus myself on continuing to improve my game and maintaining the overall well-being that I have mental, physical, emotional, so I would be able to compete at such a high level for the years to come and have a shot at eventually, getting closer to Roger's record.
Maybe the next day I'll think about it more, but for me, I don't know, I still feel very shocked.
Naomi Osaka of Japan overcame Czech finalist Petra Kvitova 7-6, 5-7, 6-4 to claim the Australian Open women's title. At first, Osaka felt as if she had more to play.
I felt like the match wasn't completely done, but it was done, you know? And it's one of those moments where you're fighting so hard, and when it's finally over, you're still in this state of, competitiveness.
Kvitova felt she had her chances to win.
Yeah, it's painful, for sure. I don't know how long it will take me to get over it, but when I look back, I did have my chances in the first set when I had 40 love on her, so did have a few break points. I don't think I played something really badly, but I just think that I should maybe go a little bit more aggressive to the one or two rallies.
Osaka is now a two-time Grand Slam champion, as is Kvitova, twice a winner at Wimbledon. But she feels her comeback from a knife attack is her real triumph.
I think I already won 2 years ago, so for me it's amazing. I think I still don't really realize that I played the final. I've been through many, many things, not really great ones. As I said on the court, I didn't know if I'm going to hold the racket again. I'm holding it, so that's good. And a few things which I can improve, and we'll do it. So it's not the end, and I'll be back for sure.
The atmosphere was very different for Osaka compared to her U.S. Open win over Serena Williams.
In New York, most of the crowd was for Serena, and here it felt like they were just, it was split a little bit. So honestly, when I was playing her and I heard that the crowd was for both of us, I was very happy, but at the same time, I was just trying to focus on playing the match.
The second-ranked Kvitova thinks Osaka can maintain her new championship style.
Winning U.S. Open and Australian Open, it's an amazing achievement. So definitely she is a great one, and we'll see what the future will bring. But for sure she has probably everything to be there and play her best tennis.
Osaka is now the world's top-ranked women's tennis player.
Maybe in the next tournament I play, if I see the number one next to my name, I'll feel something. But for now, I'm more happy that I won this trophy.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for serving up that spicy Australian Open tennis package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Finally, the Sunny Side of Sports programming note, Dan Friedel will be back in the big chair hosting the next four shows on November 22nd, November 25th, November 26th, and November 27th. I'll be back behind our Voice of America microphone giving thanks on Thanksgiving Day, November 28th. And that wraps up the November 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll be right back.
I did it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Brotte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is Science in a Minute.
On January 14, 2019, NASA's Neil Gehrels Swift Observatory and the Fermi Gamma Ray Space Telescope detected an incredibly powerful explosion in a galaxy some 7 billion light years away. The explosion was identified as a gamma ray burst. More than 300 astronomers analyzed burst and afterglow data from the two space telescopes, as well as multiple ground-based telescopes, and found that the January 2019 gamma ray burst broke the record for the source of high-energy light in the universe. It's thought that these short but powerful gamma ray bursts can generate as much energy in just a few seconds as our sun will throughout its entire 10 billion year lifetime. The astronomers detailed their discovery and findings in several studies that were recently published in the journal Nature. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
On December 5th, Border Crossings will bring you the greatest songs inspired by the soul genre. You'll hear smash hits from Three Dog Night, Holland Oates, and George Michael. If you like these tracks, you'll love our Soul Inspirations theme. December 5th on The Voice of America.